The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to The Weekend Podcast. I'm joined by Peter and Steve. You're all right, lads.
Good day to you.
Hello there.
I just come on this now. I called up, you didn't answer, Pete, but Steve answered. Yep. And we were chatting there. I said, I didn't realise it was Stu, your mate, who lives in because last week Steve was in the Netherlands, in Holland. Mm. And he works out there. And then Steve said to me, oh, I didn't realise you, but he actually lives in Utrecht. And and Steve just said to me, oh, Pete tells me you've been to Utrecht. Didn't I do a thing on the podcast last week about Utrecht? Should I do it again, Steve, or what? Why were you obviously listening?
Well, no, I wasn't listening. I don't know how I completely missed that. It was my memory just getting so bad, I can't remember.
I went travelling. Do you understand? Yeah. Your name is Steve. All right, there. Yes. Oh, I said I went travelling. I was travelling with a guy there, and we fell asleep on the train because we'd been hitchhiking overnight. We got in the back of this guy's lorry. It took us across Germany. We didn't have much sleep because it was freezing cold. And he dropped us off, and we got on the train, went to go to Amsterdam, and we fell asleep, and we heard Amsterdam on the PA, on the train. And do you remember this now, Steve?
So going back, I don't. I was quite drunk, though, to be fair, so maybe that could be something to do with it. So,
when you say Pete told you, no, I didn't. Justin told you on last week.
I remember you mentioning it in a tweet in the day saying you've been there, Jess, haven't you? And that's how I remember.
Yeah, but I got off. We got off. And it's in Amsterdam, so we jumped off the train. We got our little youth hostel dictionary diary thing. We told you where the youth hostel is. You know, in fact, hostels quite. And I said last week, quite appropriate hostels. We're talking about that this week. I didn't reveal it last week. And I went to the information center. We couldn't find the youth hostel. And I said, "Where's this youth hostel, please?" And yes, that's in Amsterdam. I said, "Yes, where is it?" She said, "In Amsterdam." I said, "I know it's in Amsterdam. Where? Which we can't find the street." And I said, "We're separated by common language here." And she said, "You are in Utrecht." I said, okay. So I had to get back on the train and go to Amsterdam, the next stop, next couple of... Do you understand? I was in the wrong city.
Right, okay. So regular listeners have now heard that story twice.
Yes. Yeah. Does it get any better with age?
No. Utrecht is a lovely place, though. Well, say London.
All I saw, Steve, was a train station and the information center. And we wandered around a couple of streets, not being able to find the youth hostel. That's all right. Yeah. So there are some people, hopefully, tuning in this week who didn't hear that last week. But anyway, that was my travelling story. So there we are.
Great story, rich and compelling.
Exactly. And talking about hostels, so I said I'm going to do a video, and I did a video last week on Safe Stay. And I think it's a cracking business, absolutely cracking, immense. So it's basically a premium. I didn't realize. I looked at the website. Have you seen that the hostels there are really nice? I mean, they're better than budget hotels like Premier Inn and all these. And what's the other one? Premier Inns and Holiday Inn or
Travelodge.
Yeah, Travelodge. They are better quality than those. And yet you can get a bed in these for £10 a night. Of course, it's in a dormitory, but you can get a room for about £60. And so. I think that. Have you seen the quality of the hotels there, though? The hostels? Do you like? Who is Mitch Steve? What are you doing in the background? We are recording a podcast!
There was a fly stuck in my room. I had to open the window to let him out.
There's a fly stuck in your room. What are you trying? You're not trying to kill it? What are you trying to kill it? A baseball bat?
No,
shotgun?
Gone
right. Does he want to come on the podcast? He makes more sense than you, probably.
Well, once again, the person who works in like professional audio is
swatting a fly around chasing a fly around his little room. God. So Safe Stay, the story is, they're valued at about, we were talking on Friday, so I had a bit of a pullback, and it will do because it's risen quickly since I talked about them. Because I often say, right, if I talk about a stock and it rises well, it's because the story is valid. It's not because, I've ramped it and people are just jumping in blindly. You can't push water uphill or herd cats, It's got to have a fundamental good story. I shed light on the story and it goes very well. And it has. It'll have a pullback. But I don't think it'll pull back too much. You know why, though? Because the net asset value, the net assets are valued at 27 million, or 28 million, actually, 27.9. So it's not far off just being valid. What that means is, net asset value, what that means is, if they just shut everything down, sold it all off for market cost, everything, then they'd get their money back. And so It's you know, it's not valued at all. The potential of this company is not valued at all. Now, they've got 14 hostels. They're going to be having 20 this time next year. That'll be about 20. You can basically do the math. The top line, basically, is £1 million per hostel they get, you know? £5,000 per bed. So every time they had a hostel, £1 million. This time next year, they'll be on £20 million in revenue. They're already generating cash inflow this year. They'll be profitable by the end of this year. They have about £10 million cash flow, as they did at the start of the year. They don't need to go back to shareholders for more funds. They're aiming for 40 hostels. Larry Lippman is the guy behind this, also the guy behind SafeStore, which is now £1.3 billion. And he reckons this area, this market, is at the same level it was when they came into sort of these self-storage places. And in fact, there's more potential now in this market. So I really like it. They have skin in the game, professional business, cash generative, and they've got a roadmap. They said 20 hostels already identified. They're on the way to, they'll do those by next year. They want to get a 40, and I think they will do it. And I think they'll be taken out, and I tell you what, it won't be for 25 million or 20, 28 million. It'll be like closer to 100 million, I think. A genuinely good business. What do you think? Good locations, premier, you know, premier offerings. What do you think, guys? You like?
Yes. Well, just to pick up on one point you said there, I don't think you're solely responsible for the movement of share prices, are you?
No. But I've had people saying to me recently, tell me about your video tips before you release them, because I can't get in. It rises about 20% on the Monday. And so, yeah, there have been some good movers on the... No, but the thing is, I'm getting what, over 1,000 views pretty much within 24 hours now on the video. So that's plenty. People, you know, if 10% of that, 100 people start buying, that'll move a small cap share, you know. But like I said, people just don't buy rubbish. There are people who follow me, understand if a story's good, you know, look at the valuation. And so it'll only work if the underlying investment story is a sound one, I think.
Yeah, no, I like it, and I have invested now, and because I looked at it after watching your video. It's an interesting story. I can see the potential, and the net asset value thing is a kind of de-risks it, doesn't it? Because it's like, well, the value, the market cap, you know, should be way ahead of where it is now. In my opinion, it looks like a very viable business. The board of directors, like you say, is impressive and seems to know what they're doing. So that's the kind of AIM stock I like to invest in.
Yeah, it's a genuine stock that I think it's a sustainable business. They will not go back to the market. They will now, like Nuno said, they will now, you know, acquire via cash they already have. I mean, so they've got cash, they're expanding, it's a good area, good backstory, the management are good. I don't see what there is to dislike about that. This is the kind of stock, like I said, Steve, this is the kind of stock you can just chuck your money in, forget about it, it'll be a pension plan, hopefully. It'll be taken out, you know, and in a couple of years' time, you'll have lots of cash. I think it'll get to become, hopefully, a dividend-paying company. You know, I think that'd be a nice little thing. So I like a lot. And talking about dividend-paying companies, I've been topping up massively. You know, 40% now of my portfolio is IUKD.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. Right. I'm not messing around. Well, the dividend, ex-dividend date was last week. We get paid out on the 26th. Are you both in that?
Boys? Yes. I have about 10% of my portfolio in that, actually.
Yeah. Well, Steve, what do you got?
I think I'm a little bit over 10%, but there or thereabouts.
You should be up around 50, you know? Cause,
okay. Come on, Steve.
Because at the moment, the net asset, when net asset values, it's always a good way to, you know, work out a company's true value. I mean, you'll see that the chart of this has bounced a few times on this level. That's because the net assets is basically what this company does. It's a high dividend paying fund, ETF. It's exactly like a share. It's an exchange traded fund. That means you can buy and sell like a share. You can put it on the chart there, look at the share price. It has 50 companies across the FTSE 350. There are the highest dividend payers. So very diversified. At the moment, they're paying about 7%, the dividend rate is. That's quarterly they pay that, not 7% every quarter. It's split into different areas, of course. And they're not equally split into four. In fact, this one right now is generally, looking back at historically, the highest payment you get of the quarter. But over the year, around about 7%. So I'm working out, I say, even on a conservative 5%, with capital upside as well, you know, over the next, you know, 5-10 years, that's a decent return, you know. Let's make it round figures, make it easy. So let's say you got 100 grand in there. I understand maybe people won't have 100 grand in there or anything less. You'd be earning 5 grand a year, you know, off that. That's a decent tickle, you know. in for a tickle. But it's a nice way to diversify the portfolio and getting some income as well, because we can't all rely on capital upside. But at the moment, like I said, that is the net assets, I mean, by 50 companies they're invested in. So the assets of those companies, pretty much, that's about £7.36. At the moment, the share price on that thing, let's put in, it's UKD, it's £7.739. So literally just 3 pence higher than this net assets. That's why it's bounced off this level quite a few times. Good support level, good dividend payout, and it's valuing, you know, those companies at nothing, pretty much, at just their assets, that's all. So no potential. And you see a lot of companies, I mean, a lot of people buy, like the buy funds, when they're at the net assets or just below, if they can, a discount to their assets, and that means they get them for cheap. But so this is a good level, you know, a very good. And in fact, a lot of value investors will, you know, invest in companies, you know, below, if they can, net assets, you know, as long as they're a sound business, because it's always a bargain. So it's worth looking at that. But, yes. Any thoughts on the markets this week, guys?
Cora's gone up, hasn't it? Is that because of the price of gold in general?
Yes.
Mm.
Well, I don't hold Cora, of course. I jumped out of resource stocks and all that a while back, so I saw the downturn. I mean, gold can tell a different story. The reason why gold's gone up, of course, is because Steve,
I don't know,
beat.
It's probably to do with China and Trump, isn't it?
Well,
I don't actually know.
A little bit. It's where everything's tied into that, really, isn't it? Everything in the world's tied into that. So.
Well, the fear of recession, I suppose, is always...
Fear of recession. So what happens is, when there's a fear of recession, the Fed pretty much will say, okay, we may have to reduce interest rates. That is, basically, reducing interest rates is the price of the dollar. The price of the dollar goes down, and the price of gold goes up, because everyone thinks, oh, hang on, the economy's going to be a bit of a downturn, everyone's a bit worried, gold is a safe haven, the price of the dollar goes down, so of course, so people put their money in gold. Yeah, that's the way it works. So, it's just topped out, I think, the first time in 6 years, gold has topped $1,400. So it's, you know, it's a big spike there. And also, people are saying that's why Bitcoin is doing quite well, you know, because Bitcoin, they're also saying now, is another store of value along with gold. So, are you still, I didn't realize you still hold Cora, both of you, do you?
Yeah, I hold it just because, it
dropped
sunk
so far.
Yeah, it dropped so far. You're like, oh, okay, one of those. But it's fundamentally, I would hope, a good company. And just because some of the board of directors obviously had skin in the game and were quite high. I mean, if my memory serves me, it's something like 11 or 12p they were investing in, weren't they? And so they were down like 5p at the moment. So I don't know, but it felt like it might have its day one day.
Do you know, I think it will. Honestly, I do like them. It's spiked up. And you see all now gold stocks. Once you get gold hitting a high, a multi-year high, so breaking a range, all gold stocks react. And I'm looking at the chart there, Cora, it went down to sort of just below 3 pence, and now it's just spiked up above the 125-day moving average at 4.8. Yeah, it could sustain that, you know what? Because, you know, essentially what they're mining in the ground has become worth more, and that improves the economics, you know, of their projects and all that stuff. So, it looks good. And
In terms of my portfolio, you know, it's like 3% or 4% or something like that, and it's not like it's stopping me investing. Like, I have some spare cash in the portfolio that I can invest elsewhere, so it's not, I don't need that money, so I think, well, just, it will come good, it will recover. But that's just being optimistic, perhaps, but hopefully. Yeah.
People have been saying to me about Bidstack, they're worrying about Bidstack because it's just gone below 30 pence, it's 28.5 pence. I've always said this over again. In fact, I've got a chart looking at right now that I've marked lines on. I haven't touched those lines, and it's touching that bottom line, which I call the buy area. The relative strength now, it's down at it's touching 50, which normally it's very rarely gets. If you look historically back on this chart, you know, that is buy zone territory below 50. Now, all we're lacking here is news. This is, I said, one of the most exciting tech stocks to come out on AIM for a long time. And if James comes out with any bit of those news he's hinted at on the podcast, this will fly. And, and like I said, it's always good not to overexpose. I've been overexposing this. But these are the times here when there's quiet news. These are times, if you're confident in the story, in any stock, if you're confident in the story, the board, and all that stuff, then this is the time to start tucking a few away, you know? I'm not, because I've got too much already. But I'm genuinely I think this, you know, world news will fly because there's lots of potential. There's lots going on in the game industry. There's lots of opportunity for James and, you know, the company to be to do very well all over. And he mentioned, actually, did you see that? He mentioned about a platform. They're getting all their ducks, you know, I don't know what that means. Ducks, yeah. Ducks in a row. What is it, where did that come from? Why would anyone put their ducks in a row? I don't understand.
If you've got a lot of ducks and you'd organise them, you know.
Get them in a row, guys. Come on, guys, in a row. That's impossible, isn't it? Oh, they do get they do march in a row, don't they? They all follow the mummy and daddy. In fact, when you see ducks and ducklings, right, you only see the mummy. Where's the daddy?
Well, isn't he?
That's why there's a lot of inner city violence amongst ducks, because the daddy just leaves, isn't he? You know,
No father figure.
Yeah, exactly. Have you knew it was that, Steve?
Yeah, all the time, yeah.
Steve, do something else. What are you actually doing, Steve?
Well, I'm listening.
He's doing a jigsaw.
yeah, bids, you know, that's the way the market works. You know, it goes up, it comes down.
I mean, I think we said it last week, or I said it last week, at 36p, where it was 38p, you know, it's going to have a cooling off period, isn't it? It's going to come down. Just because it can't continue to meteoric rise forever. It's going to cool down. There's going to be a news flow in due course. The results in September aren't probably going to be mega at this stage anyway. We know that sort of thing, but it's a long-term play.
I think they'll have news out before then anyway.
Yeah.
I genuinely do, because I did say to James, I said last week to you, didn't I? I said, you said you can't guarantee there'll be news out. I said, well, I guarantee there'll be news out before a month.
The clock is ticking. We're waiting for
I'm guaranteed that. Another one that's gone up crazily, and of course it's going to come back, is agronomics. Anik, you know, which is the investment company into clean food. Labdex is a very hot sector. A lot of hype, hope around there. I mean, there were people ramping this on Twitter like crazy, saying it's the next Beyond Meat. What are you talking about? It's investing into companies. They don't own, you know, they don't own.
I don't understand. I didn't buy into it and whatever, but I don't quite understand why it rose so dramatically.
Well, because people were on Twitter, a couple of characters on Twitter, you know, were ramping it, saying it's next Beyond Meat. It's a stupid Beyond Meat. Have a proper production company. Beyond Meat are the cutting edge, right, of meat alternatives. They've been in the labs for years. They produce burgers, sausages, and all this, and they are in major outlets, like they're in Tesco's over here. They're in big supermarket chains in America. So that's why we are talking about an investment company that holds 2% of a company called Blue Nalu at the moment, which is a seafood lab sort of stuff. They haven't listed, they haven't got their product commercially available yet, so it's nowhere near Beyond Meat, you know. So it's a very small investment in a startup company, so we're way off that. But obviously this is what you get with hope, hype, potential. People never chase a spike. It's like down at 17%, and it's down, I mean, what did it get to? It's like at 8p at the moment. Right, but I like this kind of thing. I do like this. The theme, like I say, thematic investing. I love this. So we're up to 14p. It's now down to 8p. See, that's the kind of thing. You'd have been killed on that spike if you'd bought that. But I'm going to hold because I'm in it for the longer term. I'm not a trader. I'm an investor that believes that spike is an insight into the future of where it could go next time on a sustained rise, not just a spike up. You know, so. I'm happy to see what they do there. And
What's the food that they do in Tesco then? What was it called?
It's called Beyond Meat.
Beyond Meat. Beyond Meat, all right. That's what it's called on the shelves.
Yes. Oh, Beyond Meat.
Yeah, I was looking for it. I couldn't find it.
It's on the packaging as well.
I think it's called Beyond Burger, something like that, and Beyond Meat. Beyond Burger. So it's worth giving it a try, Steve.
I did go looking for it, but I just couldn't find it.
They are like £5 for four burgers. You know, it's not your trash, though. I don't think it's, you know, there's a report out this week saying it's not that healthy, but it's like peas and vegetables. Why can't it not be healthy? I don't understand.
Not as healthy as decent beef.
Well, that's not healthy for the cow, is it? It's not healthy for the environment. It's not healthy, and having too much of that, have you seen that? In fact, Bill Gates tweeted out an excellent chart this week.
Well done, Bill.
Yeah, he's got to do something, hasn't he? He's got a lot of money. He's just sitting there, Bill, thinking, what's going on here? But he's taking a chance on media coverage on what actually kills people, the threats of killing, an actual fact of what actually kills humans. So what you got is terrorists get a lot of media coverage, right? AIDS and stuff like that, or unexpected, get massive. So they've got these bar charts, four bar charts, two bar charts is worth looking at, what actually kill people, and the coverage given to things that we think, you know, kill people. And essentially, heart disease is the biggest, cancer second, This is the actual things that kill you, and these take about 50% of what actually kills us, right? And then you can't even see terrorism. It's like a tiny little line at the bottom of this bar chart. It doesn't even figure yeah. in what actually kills. But if you look at the media coverage, it's flipped upside down. So they've got terrorism at the top, massive, yeah. you know, just 50% of media coverage, when actually it only kills like 0.00001% and all that. But heart disease and cancer, which you get from eating too much beef, is what actually kills.
And other causes. And
that's all it's for. Smoking beef, okay. Wearing beef curtains.
Just the beef. Exactly. Right, okay.
You know,
getting run over by meat lorries.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That kind of stuff.
Trampled by a cow.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You smoking too much with a cow, you know, just you and the cow smoking too much.
Yeah.
Anything, being in close proximity to cows, you know, that stuff. Anything like that, stroking a cow.
Things though, if we were too healthy and everyone was living that long, we would be in an epidemic of like overpopulated anyway, aren't we?
Exactly. So, we probably need a bit of, we need humans to be killers. Darwinism, isn't it?
So, exactly. So we need a bit of meat and bad stuff to kill us.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what that was about first. So that's that. Anything else going on? A safe day coming at that.
One I was going to ask, I'm not complaining, although Steve, you want to shut your ears because I know you didn't get in. Nuformix.
Oh, continues. It's the high today.
Well, continues its rise, doesn't it? I mean, and so my question is, I haven't de-risked because I'm kind of looking at the longer term thing, but I'm looking at it and going, I probably should de-risk at some point.
Well, I didn't put enough in this, really.
But now
it's starting to make up a nice chunk of my portfolio. It's probably the best performer I've got now for this year because obviously bids had pulled back. This has gone up. But, yeah, I mean, I just don't see any negative news coming out about this. I mean, let's be honest, the market cap is 62 million now, so it's getting up there. But the potential of royalties from the drugs, you know, over the long term, you'd say is decent, you know. So I don't know where the.
Yeah, I don't want to sell, but then at the same time, I don't want to see profit disappear. So it's like, oh, that's a tricky one.
Yeah, but you know what? It'll be interesting to see if it breaks this now, because it literally went from, let's have a look. So it's gone from 2 pence pretty much to 14 pence, right? Let's see if it does a double top. If it breaks 14, the last high got to, it opened at like 13.8 and came back down. If it can break that, stay above that, that's a new trading range. So it's plenty of time, generally, because it'll have a couple of goes at this. It's come back. So if it fails to, you know, to break that, then it may consolidate and come back down and then, you know, wait for the news, and it'll take a while to get back up there again. But again, if you're a long-term investor, you take those consolidation periods as time to top up, you know, saying, I see this going beyond. So it'll come back. So let's say if it does come back, say 10 pence, 8 pence, but the news is out there, that's the time to top up. It's like the bid stack now. If you aren't overexposed, which I was, you top up, you know, and you've got to, you know, I was having a chat with someone. Risk management, to a certain extent, has to be, you know, and that's why it's my number one lesson. I completely ignored my lesson one on bid stack. Because I just thought the potential was so big. But you've always got to put risk management at the top of any investing. You know, you've got to never overexpose yourself. If you've got, like, you know, over 50% of your value in one stock, your portfolio value in one stock, and it takes a hit, you know, you lose a lot of value in your portfolio. So, again, that rule of never having 10% in one stock is always a valid one. Obviously, if it rises quickly, fine. You will be overexposed for a while. But don't forget, you know, that's... You'll lose that if it starts coming back down, that value. So that value you generated, if you want to, you know, crystallise that, you've got to take some off, you know? It doesn't mean you value the company any less, so it's potentially less, but protect your capital. Protect the capital, man, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
How many times has Steve, you've messed up on that? I mean, a couple of times, has risen quickly. I've got to say, the companies I'm looking at the moment, like, you know, Safe Stays, there's another one coming out. I'm going to do a video on a company on the weekend I quite like a lot, and I think, you know, it'll generate revenue. Like Safe Stay, for example, I'm not worried about that. It's valued at net assets, and it's a profitable company. And this, it's generating cash. It'll never go back to the market. And I think at the moment, the valuation, okay, listen, it needs to cool down a bit because the chart has gone crazy. It needs to cool down, but... It, you know, generally long term, it's one of those companies you can, you know, barring any unexpected news, you can buy and hold, you know, and top up on dips.
Yeah. Okay. No, I agree.
Can I have a question actually about a stock?
Yes, you
that
can.
I
know
that,
no,
because
no, in fact, to, no, what, you're right. Pete, well, Pete, good call.
I'm trying to buy.
No, no. Go on.
I'm trying to.
No!
No, I won't bother.
No, come on, Steve. No, we won't do it again. No, we won't do it again. Go on, go on. Go on,
no,
go on,
I,
again.
No,
we, no, we won't do it again. Go on, go on.
So, I'm trying to
sell. No, go on. Honestly, this time, I'll let you do it. On, I'm trying to buy.
No, this time.
That's it, I'm done.
No, I honestly, Steve, if I won't do it this time, honestly, because it's annoying.
This is like an annual occurrence. Steve has a question. So.
You ruined it.
No, go on. Listen, I will not do it now. Go on. Go on.
I won't do it now.
I'm not going to do it now.
Come on, Steve. No, we won't do it. We will not do it. Come on, because it's too much hassle. Come on, I have to go. Come on, let's do it. Quick.
Yeah. No, you're done. Come, move on.
No, come on, Steve. Come on, let's do it. We want your question.
Okay, so United Oil and Gas. I'm not massively down on that, but so I'm thinking about taking some of the profit out of that to put into other things. Or is it worth sticking with that?
I think, let's have a look at the chart, Steve. No!
And time's up.
Do you know what? No, Steve, I would say now the chart is coming round. It's bottomed out at 3. I would hold on there. I quite like Brian. You know, I just... what he's got going on. If had a bit of a negative, you know, sort of sentiment in the stock, maybe that's burnout. It's up to you, though.
I'm just looking around at stocks I've got at the moment, which I haven't literally flatlined to like minus 95%. I'm worth taking out the money. Yeah. And that's just one of them I've got a bit of money in, which I could take out and move around. Yeah. But
that's like Cora, isn't it, for me as well? I'm still in United, and I think, well, you know, I don't need the money. It's not a huge part of my portfolio. I think it's a long-term story there, potentially, and hopefully we'll see a recovery. But
there's some stocks just not worth cashing out on because, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, equally, that said, you could, like we've done before, and like I did with Bidstack, there are, what, two or three, like we said, mongrels that are sold to buy a pedigree like Bidstack and recovered my losses through Bidstack. So, you know, there's that opportunity, isn't there? But United Oil and Gas, Cora, I don't see as mongrels, so I kind of keep them in the portfolio.
I got a couple of stocks that not even Bidstack would have recovered the loss on that.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, well, all I said to say this is oil and gas, right? I mean, it's always risky, oil and gas, because, of course, you've got this area where you are exploring for oil. If it's a wildcat, you know, then the chances of success are very low. You know, it's 5-1, 10-1. If it's an appraisal well, less chance of success, maybe at evens. So it's always odds against. So I've completely focused on tech, and they've got to have, you know, and it's got to be to a certain extent. Companies that have a pathway to profitability, revenue generation, that kind of thing, so they're not going to go to the market, you know, back. So
I get that, and I wouldn't invest.
Risk is high. Risk is high.
You know. And the things of, I think it's just the name of it, obviously, oil and gas resource and everything. It's just like, because with everything going carbon free within the next, I just, you know, is there a chance that would still go up, or is it?
Oh yeah, well, we'll need oil and gas. We'll need that for a long time yet. You know, I mean, the aim is to be, you know, on electric cars, be 30% of the world on electric cars by 2030. You know, and so, you know, so 2/3 will not be on electric cars. You know, so of course, massive, and there's still a lot needed for, you know, plastics and all this stuff. Yeah, plastics, well, the oil is using that, but you know, oil will still be, you know, massively needed, even to a certain extent on a sort of parochial level, on a local level or regional level. You know, Britain, you know, I think I'm correct in saying we need, you know, still to get, we still import a lot of gas and stuff like that, you know, so we still need our energy requirements. Of course, we are heading towards that clean energy bill, but yes, but for a long time. But you're not talking 10 years here, you're talking a year, 2 years, you know, so
yeah,
so be fine. So I don't think the balance will be, you know, like I said, 10, 11 years, it'll get 30% on electric cars. But I'm talking about your investment horizons on that. It's probably less than that. So it's fine. You know, we're still going to be needing oil and gas. But do you know what? I'm extreme on things like this. Once I just found the tech, it's got a lot more, you know, just the same amount of upside as oil and gas and resource stocks, but less risk because they start generating cash quicker and there's less chance of going back to the market. So And in hard times when, you know, sentiment's down on resource companies, oil and gas companies, then you find raising money is harder, you know, therefore the discounts at placings are greater, and you get more people flipping the stock quicker. So it just, it really is, you know, a cycle that's not nice to be involved in and get involved. So if I were you, someone would say, yes, always have a bit of exposure to that. But like I say, if you want to be, you know, ethically clean, I can sense people shouting at the podcast right now saying, no, you should always have that in it. Climate change idiots. But listen, that's the way it's going. That's the way the money's flowing, you know? You've got to pay attention to the way the money's flowing. There's billions being poured into clean energy. And so that's the way the money's going. Regardless of whether you think climate change is happening or not, money is flowing into the sector in its billions, not millions, billions. So there we are in tech. And tech... And I, you know, Pete said to me before, tech is not very diversified, is it? Just having everything tech. But tech is at the forefront now of every industry, you know? Mm. So it is very diversified. And if you look at what used to be the biggest companies in the world 20 years ago, it was oil and gas, General Electric, all that, Chevron. Now it's all tech, pretty much. You know, that's it. So you can see the way it's going. But there we are. Yeah, I think we've done enough on this because I know you wanted a short podcast, and to be honest, it's
not. And to be honest, the listeners do as well.
Yeah, exactly. There's not one person who doesn't want that. And
exactly.
The only thing stopped me doing a short podcast is that people want it, and I'm contrarian. Lovely. So the shorter you want it, the longer you'll get it. You know what I'm saying? That's what the wife says.
All right,
guys. Have a nice weekend. Any plans for the weekend, Steve? Because you've been doing your sort of middle-aged sort of trips and things, haven't you, really, recently?
I'm not here next weekend. I'm in Ibiza.
Steve, you're almost 40, you silly little boy. What are you doing?
It's a stag party.
That's even more, isn't it? Again, I'll repeat what I said. You're almost 40.
Well, no, the person who stag it is probably closer to his 30s, so...
fine, then. Yeah. Can't we just go to, like, Centre Parks or something?
Go
for a round of golf, go to the pub. It is over the top, this stag, dude. What's the point of it? Spot on, Peter. A round of golf, go to the pub, have a curry, that's it. That's all you need.
In bed by 10.
Get up in the morning and do some stocks of research. Yeah, that's all you need. That's perfect. Lovely.
I do.
Right. All right, lads. Have a nice weekend. Cheers.
Bye-bye.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.